takes a bit of a brain and a fair amount of money to attend college these days, but it does not necessarily take a car. In fact, colleges and universities are paying more attention of late to getting students to think about getting around with something other than a private car. The activist group Osberg recently published a report called A New Course: How Innovative University Programs Are Reducing Driving on Campus and Creating Models for Transportation Policy. Didn't go for a short title, I see. Cheryl Karlich is the Osberg Campus Coordinator at Southern Oregon University and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Cheryl, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
For the folks who don't know the name, remind us what the PERGs and Osberg are.
Sure. So Osberg, or Osberg Students, is the Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group. We're one of three prongs of public interest and consumer advocacy groups that work throughout Oregon and the country on issues that impact, you know, everybody.
So this report, I'll say it again, and then we'll start shortening it up a little bit. A New Course: How Innovative University Programs Are Reducing Driving on Campus and Creating Models for Transportation Policy. What prompted this?
Well, we really realized that there's a lot of work to be done in transportation throughout the state and throughout the country. So we were trying to look for trends and things that we could focus on. And we noticed that millennials are really actually leading in the decline of driving throughout the entire country. And then further research into that noticed that colleges and universities are actually leading in this innovation and catering to the new trends that students are asking for.
There seems to be some disagreement about what constitutes millennials. I've heard people born since 1980, people born since 1990. What's the general realm you're working with here?
It's about 1980 to 2000. So
So millennials basically up into the change of the millennium. So are we working on the assumption here that Osberg and Osberg students support the idea of people driving less?
Absolutely. Yes, we think, you know, public transportation is a huge asset to communities and to citizens in general.
All right, so just a basic, it's good for the community in a lot of ways.
Right.
What are some of the main attractions to reducing driving? It sounds like, as you mentioned, the millennials are sort of getting there by themselves, but they're being helped along.
Sure. So universities have realized that parking is expensive for them, really. It takes up a lot of space, doesn't allow for them to expand on academic areas, or if they need to put up, a big parking structure that can cost tens of thousands into the millions for, you know, the increased amount of students who are driving. So for universities, it just also makes sense financially. But then it helps with retention of students. And then we've seen that young people especially have been concerned with their environmental impacts and then just are looking for more communities that provide walkable or, you know, bike and public transit options. So not just one option, but they're looking for a multitude of things.
So in addition to looking at the trends, I have to assume that Osberg and the other PERGs are also trying to assist the universities in making decisions about these?
Sure, yeah. So this report that we released has, a lot of suggestions, not only for universities, but policymakers on how they can move forward on innovative programs.
Give us an example of some.
Actually right here at SOU, students and staff are working together to provide an innovative and increased rideshare program. So we've seen that rideshares across the country have reduced student, staff, and faculty driving significantly. So this report suggests that increasing those options, along with other opportunities like bike share or rentals, would also be very beneficial to the university and the community as a whole.
And so how do the rideshare programs generally work? Do people have to sign up with other people? Is there just some sort of central number to call? I mean, how does that all get put together?
Sure. Yeah, there's a few different ways. You know, each university and each community or program is based, you know, on their needs. But generally, you can utilize social networks like Facebook or online resources that pair you up with someone who has a similar schedule and route. And then you basically just link up with that person either for a one-time trip or for a regular scheduled commute. And then a lot of programs across the country also incentivize this by doing reduced parking passes or helping if, you know, a ride has to suddenly leave and isn't around to bring you home or for whatever reason. Some programs are, you know, paying for a taxi cab or things like that.
Are there smartphone apps that are helping with this? I know that there are programs that are not campus-based, not about university students, like Uber in San Francisco and a couple of others like it, where you're basically finding people nearby you going the same place and getting together with them. Are apps helping students too?
Yes, absolutely. We found that apps really are being leading help in this. And students actually have the opportunity to go through and make these apps to cater to their demographic because they would know best, really.
You said something earlier about how reducing car use on campus and the whole mishigas that comes with it, the parking and the traffic and all the other stuff, helps retention, meaning helping students stay in college. How does that help with retention?
Well, students find that, you know, it's easier to get around without having a car a lot of the time. Cars are also expensive. You have to pay for things like insurance and, you know, maintenance and gas. So paying for a reduced price bus pass or into a rideshare program has kept students, you know, coming back to that community that serves them. And then we've also found that students take what they've formed as habits in their university years and bring that on throughout the rest of their lives. So students are generally looking for things like this, and having that available would keep them coming and keep them there.
We're talking about students and other people connected to universities and colleges getting around without private cars with Cheryl Karlich from Osberg on the Southern Oregon University end of things. We're talking about a particular report called A New Course, How Innovative University Programs Are Reducing Driving on Campus and Creating Models for Transportation Policy. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Does this report, in fact, look all over the country? This is not just a report based on Oregon, is that right?
Correct. Yes. So we've seen samples from the University of Massachusetts, Amherst, the University of California system, University of Colorado, and so on, as well as, you know, just as locally as the University of Oregon. Lots of different examples of programs that are going on, like reduced or free transit, like at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, innovated a huge program to allow for free transit in their busiest routes.
The examples you gave right off the bat there were from very different places. Amherst, Massachusetts is pretty much in the middle of farm fields. It's not
right.
A very big town at all. Very different from, say, the University of California, Berkeley, which is in the heart of a big urban area. So really different circumstances, but some similar approaches, it sounds like, to getting people around from place to place.
Right. Yeah, there's, you know, slightly fine-tuned to serve their community, but we've seen lots of different programs, but lots of similarities. So as I mentioned, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill has, a free transit program. And then the University of Oregon also offers, U-Pass or Universal Transit Passes that students can utilize to ride the buses in their districts. And then we have also seen right here at SOU reduced transit passes so that students can ride the buses at a, you know, fairly cheap price.
So they can ride the Rogue Valley Transportation District, RVTD system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What is the break they get? Is it half price or something like that?
I believe it's $15 per month, which is a significant drop from, I believe it's around 60 or so for the regular pass. And that's, you know, subsidized by things like student fees and just generally supported by this university.
Now, you'd mentioned University of Oregon. Oregon State University in Corvallis is supported by the local transit system, which is free, isn't it?
I do believe so, yes. I'm not quite familiar on that program.
Okay. So lots of examples of good. Are you trying to accentuate the positive in the report, or were there some places that were singled out for criticism because they are still very car-heavy sorts of campuses?
We did try to emphasize on the positive because we do want to utilize this as kind of a leading example for other communities, universities, and policymakers just to see, you know, that young people and Americans as a whole are leading in a decline of driving. So policymakers should follow suit in order to, you know, serve their communities and serve the new demographics.
You're sort of giving us the leading edge of something that has been talked about other places, not so much here in the Exchange, but this whole issue of a whole generation of people, millennials, who don't particularly, they're not enamored of cars. They're not as into cars as previous generations might have been. Any idea what some of the contributing factors are there? Is that reflected in the report?
Not in this particular report, although this is in a series of other transportation-related reports. And just generally, we found that cars are hard to manage. They're expensive. Students find it more free, I guess, to hop on a bus or hop on their bike and really just be able to get somewhere quickly and easily on their own means, as opposed to, you know, cars can be a bit of a hassle. Speaking as a as a millennial myself, I find it to be a bit more of a commitment than I'm willing to make when I can actually just ride the bus, a few blocks down the road to get to work every day.
And when your car didn't start, as mine did this morning.
Right.
So it helps make your mind up for you. Is there a steady uptick in use of non-car transportation models, or is it a little bit of a steeper climb than that? Do we have any idea how fast the momentum is here?
Yes, I don't remember the figure right off the top of my head, but from 2001 to 2009, we saw a steady decline in driving throughout the country. And this is increasing, as these programs take foot on campus and then throughout the country.
All right. And particularly at SOU, Southern Oregon University, I know because I leave for lunch every day and come back to campus and have to try to find a parking spot on the neighboring streets, which can be really tricky on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Right.
So is there much of a dent being made in the overall car traffic at SOU? Do you have numbers on that?
I don't have the numbers at SOU particularly, but we have found that these programs have fostered better relationships with towns. They call them town-gown relationships. Reducing the amount of cars, the influx of students and vehicles on the road during those times, prime times, or the school year have really fostered better relationships with, surrounding community members and town officials.
It seems like over the years, lots of colleges and universities did make some adaptations. I mean, and this probably started in the 60s and 70s when people began to think, we can do things other than just cars. Things like turning what had been public streets for vehicles into pedestrian malls and things like that.
Right.
Anything in the report that indicates whether that trend continues?
Not particularly on transit walkways, but we have seen that increasing walkways and then bike lanes and things of that sort have fostered, less driving, as well as a better community feel, because people like to be able to walk from place to place, and as opposed to driving, the mile to school, they can feel safe walking. So it is important that schools continue to provide safe causeways for things like bikes and walking pedestrians.
Now, is it often just the schools, or are the communities in which they are located also put some work into this?
Yeah. Of course, it has to be a partnership if you're working with public roads and things of that sort. So we see a lot of bike lanes around here and throughout Oregon is a very bike-heavy, feel to it, as opposed to many other places in the country. So you would have to work within, the official capacity of the city.
So the trick is really in providing amenities, places where people do feel comfortable and safe using things to get around other than cars. If you provide places for cars to drive, cars to park, et cetera, they're going to use those. But if you switch
right.
the allocation of resources around, then you begin to encourage things other than car use.
Right, absolutely. If you provide a bunch of bikes to be rented, students are going to rent those bikes, or people in the community are going to utilize those things. Out of sight, out of mind, people aren't going to think about it otherwise.
Cheryl Karlich is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's with Osberg and is a campus organizer at Southern Oregon University. You can join our discussion about getting around. Talk about maybe what life was like when you went to college and how you got around. I can vouch for the fact that I didn't need a car until I graduated from college. That was my first car, actually, after graduation.
Wow.
Let's hear your story. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. For email, jx@jeffnet.org. What are some of the real bits of low-hanging fruit then? I mean, what are some of the real basic steps that any college or college town can do as a first move to say, okay, here's the deal. We're going to make it a little easier for people to get around without cars.
Sure. You have to know your community, as I mentioned before. So you want to know what works best. If you see a lot of students already riding bikes, provide things like bike stands or bike repair services, and then move on to rentals and other sorts of opportunities. If you notice that lots of students are walking to campus, provide safer walkways and opportunities for students like footbridges. But basically, you just have to observe and then feed into that. So as I mentioned before, here at SOU, we've seen that, you know, students need to get to campus and also oftentimes don't have a car or need to travel throughout the state in different capacities. So they're working toward increasing that by rideshare program for those students who do need to get around, but also, you know, may not necessarily have access to like a transit route or something.
How much does Osberg go toward advocacy as well, in addition to just observation? I mean, are you pushing for things like more bike lanes, pushing for things like a footbridge over Siskiyou Boulevard at Southern Oregon University, now that a lot of the students live across the boulevard from campus?
Right, yeah. No particular actions just yet here. But on the statewide level, Osberg State does work to advocate for more funding for, you know, 21st century transportation like high-speed rail.
All right. So big picture stuff is something
right.
You're looking at. Let us take a phone call. We have Rachel in Wairika on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about colleges and cars, or fewer cars perhaps, with Cheryl Karlich from Osberg.
I just wanted to say I think this is great. I attended UC Santa Cruz in the 1970s, and we had a bus pass, and I have never driven. That is to say, I learned to drive, but I have never found it necessary to own a car. I'm now 55, and I think this is what we need, and a great way to encourage people in their skills and their freedom from cars.
All right. So interesting. You don't have a car now, you're saying?
I don't have a car now, and I haven't had a car ever.
Wow, and how's that to get around in a place like Wairika, which is not...
Well, I'm in Eureka.
Oh, Eureka, okay.
But when I moved here, people said, well, you'll need to get a car when you live in Eureka, and I have not found that to be the case.
All right, well, good for you, and thanks for sharing the story, Rachel. Appreciate it. I'm imagining meeting a few people like Rachel who are thinking perhaps they can get by without a car.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a prime example of someone who had, you know, something available at their college campus and took that on to the rest of their life, you know, forms habits.
You mentioned that one of the things you have to do is get to know the community and know what will work for your community. And part of it is just by observing behavior. If you see lots of people on bikes, you start putting out bike amenities. How much further, though, do you take that process, though, in trying to do focus groups or surveys or anything like that to feel or get a feel for what people are thinking?
Sure. Well, you know, our series of reports do get into the nitty-gritty on a few cases on those things. Really, it is just seeing it, you know, what is the problem? So if you are experiencing problems on your campus with, you know, no parking spaces or an influx of cars, how can you mitigate that? So there have been examples of colleges actually viewing that as a way to move toward transportation and a way to exemplify their sustainability commitments as well. So really, it's kind of like seeing what is happening and then seeing if there are any problems that you can fix right away.
You've mentioned a couple of good examples already, but is there anything in the report that stands out as, oh, wow, nobody else ever thought of this before. This is a great idea.
Well, I'd say they are all kind of great examples of that. The one that really kind of struck me was at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. So they are a rural campus out in western Massachusetts and partnered up with their local transportation. I believe it's the Pioneer Valley Transportation Authority in order to provide a better, you know, kind of like a shuttle system for their students because it was hard to get around. And they found a dramatic increase in ridership, something around serving 10 million people in just about since 2010. So that's like the largest that they've seen in any rural transit authority in Massachusetts. So it really does provide like an amazing opportunity for not only the community, but these transit authorities, college campuses, and students.
That's a big number.
Right.
Several million people riding around. Yeah, because Amherst, Massachusetts, I mean, the biggest big city, nearest big city is Springfield, and that's not terribly large either.
Right.
Are there some real duh moments here in the report, you know, things that are opportunities that are being not taken advantage of?
Sure. Yeah, I'd say things like bus passes, reduced price bus passes for students. If it's not happening on your campus, I think that's definitely an amenity that should be looked into to increase ridership and just, you know, once again, provide something for the local community.
Can it be tricky to convince college administrations of things like this, though? Because the fact is they do have to lay out some cash up front for things like bus passes, but then you can probably make a pretty good case on the back end, but you will spend much less on building parking structures if you do this.
Right, and it does cost to maintain parking, you know, a few million or a few hundred thousand over the course of a few years. So it saves them money in the long run, but there are various different options in order to implement things like that, things like student fees or grants. You can make any combination of the options.
Well, so it sounds like the things are moving along pretty rapidly here in the sense that that people are realizing what the desires, particularly of this generation of college students, is and responding to it.
Right. In the 90s, we've seen an increase in drivers and just general people on the road, but now that's declining. So people are just kind of realizing this now and trying to cater to those new options and new trends.
You'd have to cast out a little further, but I mean, is there any concern that you can make all these amenities for people to not use cars now and then the next generation go, hey, we like cars, and you end up swinging back the other way?
I'd say that I think that would be unlikely considering, you know, the young generation such as myself have really taken onto public transportation and many different options. So you'd have to beat that.
Do you have a car yourself? We haven't asked.
I don't, no.
All right. Cheryl Karlich is the Osberg Campus Organizer at Southern Oregon University. Thanks so much for joining us today to talk about the report, which is called A New Course, How Innovative University Programs Are Reducing Driving on Campus and Creating Models for Transportation Policy. Thanks again, Cheryl.
Thanks for having me.
That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for listening.